Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John. Dude, how the hell are you?
I'm better than Pete Davidson's dad on 9/11.
Oh, jeez. Okay, folks, if you want to know the reason for that, you're going to have to head on over to Twitter. Go to Simply Sane J1. He'll tell you everything. I'm sure he will. There it is, folks.
But, I mean, yeah. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to talk and fucking
you
laugh.
Must be excited. You have a smile from ear to ear today.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. I love doing this show. It's so fun. I am excited.
So before we start recording, let's address the elephant in the room. Let's talk about something big, something that nobody really wants to hear.
Yep.
I Met Your Father has been canceled. Your thoughts on this?
I am pissed that this got canceled.
Are you pissed with a capital PhD?
Sure, I'm Dr. Pissed, yes.
Dr. Pissed! Make a good fucking soda right there.
Yes, but I tried, starting this hashtag campaign, hashtag save HIMYF. So, if you're out there tweet that.
Let's get it going, people. Let's save How I Met Your Father.
There's a petition out there. It's pinned to our Twitter page. So go and sign the petition as well.
Your friends.
Things have happened. People have brought shows back. People have gotten movies changed.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, people, we changed Sonic. Let's save How I Met Your Father. At it, I know that we don't go to... Never mind. You know what? Let's just focus on How I Met Your Father. Let's save How I Met Your Father. Let's join together. Let's join hands across America for How I Met Your Father.
So,
bring some germicell.
Speaking of How I Met Your Father, obviously, we had two seasons, 30 episodes of this show. We do not know who the father is, right?
Nope, we're never going to know.
But I was on Twitter and I saw this thing. Somebody at least claims this. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, because there's no source material for this. But they claim that during a stand-up set, one of the writers revealed who the father was by accident.
Really?
Now, again, I don't know if this person is just dicking us around or if it actually happened. I don't know. But they claim, do you want me to say it? Because I'll say it.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Spoilers, if you don't want to hear who the father is, on the outside chance.
Who the father might be, according to this person said.
Jump ahead 10, 15 seconds.
They said the father is Sid. And it kind of blew my mind, if that's true.
If that's true, yeah, that's a real head scratcher.
It makes me really want to know what they had planned for the show then. How they had it planned out. They had to have had a plan for the path that would get them together.
Yeah.
In the end.
Or at least to have a kid together.
Or at least to have a kid together. So, I don't know. It's interesting. My hope is if it doesn't ever get renewed, that the showrunners at least will come out and like throw out their full detailed plan of everything that they would have done. You know what I mean? Just give it all to us. Everything that they had planned, the route that it would have taken, if they have any of that, I don't know. But I would love to see all of that. But let's just get it renewed. Let's not even have to worry
about it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, hashtag save the father first.
Yeah, hashtag save HIMYF. Let's get it rolling, folks. Let's do this shit. Now we got that out of the way, the sad stuff. Let's talk about some good stuff. We're going to talk season 4, episode 3. That's right. I heart New Jersey.
First off, you do not heart New Jersey.
I don't. I've never been to New Jersey. Maybe I do heart New Jersey. You don't fucking know. You don't know me.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I could just about squeeze into the Grand Canyon.
Yep, that's right.
You know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
I could just about squeeze it into New Jersey. You know.
So, all right. I have to say, before we get into this episode, I don't think I ever realized that, for one, there's a Boom Goes the Dynamite reference in this episode.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until I watched it this time.
Yeah, it made me laugh.
There's technically two, but you don't know what the other one is until I explain it later on. And fair. When I get there, I'll explain.
And
because it ties into the origins of the Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Fair. And two, my favorite joke from the entire series spawns from this fucking episode.
Really?
It's the one I texted you before we recorded.
Oh.
Because I've actually made that joke in person before when somebody was like, I'll just tell it here. Because, I mean, we'll probably brush over it when we get into the episode anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's the Frank Sinatra's from New Jersey, Ted. And he's like, yeah, but he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus.
Yeah, he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus. I love
and
that.
I've made that joke in person before when somebody was like, oh, he's the greatest singer ever and he's a Jersey person. I'm like, yeah, but he ain't singing about Jersey. And I've referenced Ted. I'll be like, he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus. And they're like, oh, that's not funny. And I'm like, but it's true. He's singing New York, New York.
Yeah, you know, 100%. And it was a great comeback. For Ted, you know, in that moment. But so let's get into all the details here. This episode aired originally October 6th of 2008.
Ooh.
Was directed by our favorite Pamela Fryman.
P-Fry.
Written by Greg Malins. And the summary for this one. What? What's so funny?
That's a funny name. Oh. Malins.
Sorry, Greg. And the summary for this one reads, tired of having to constantly travel back and forth between New Jersey and New York to spend time with Stella and the gang, Ted convinces the gang to go to New Jersey. Meanwhile, Robin's career is in jeopardy. Yes.
I mean, so I know how we break this like into two separate stories. You know, we're going to tell the Robin side of things. We're going to tell the, even though hers like overlaps for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I want to address something here.
Go for it.
It'll come back later on in the series, but I want to talk about this here. And it's, we all date people, and we all make sacrifices when we're dating somebody.
Yes.
And there are reasonable ways to talk and have communication extended to not make you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that, people, if you ever come to that crossroads where you need to have communication skills with somebody, I want you to go back and watch the season 4, episode 3, episode of How I Met Your Father.
How I Met Your Mother.
Or How I Met Your Mother. Thank you. And watch Ted in this episode and do nothing that Ted does, because Ted is an asshole in this entire fucking episode. Like, everything he does.
Dude, I write something similar to that down, like Ted's being a dick or something like that. When we get to it, I'm sure I'll see it.
Like I said, but I understand that later on we find out like Stella moves back to the city with Tony and all that shit breaks down and Ted's heard about it. But there are ways to communicate it and like be like, hey, listen, I don't know if I want to move to New Jersey. I think maybe the city could be better for us. But there's clearly a reason why Stella doesn't want to go back to the city.
Yeah.
And she's very she's very mature about it until she kind of gets ganged up on.
Yeah, it's true. But we'll get it. We will. Yes. Okay, so episode starts. Future Ted telling his kids that he's got a little problem, John.
Yep.
And Ted is heading off to Stella's. He's got to catch the train. And I noticed this starts something that I don't think I ever caught or like thought about in all the times that I've watched this until now. It starts this series of things that Ted misses out on as he's taking the train, right? And it makes me wonder, is he the Blitz?
Oh, he's totally the Blitz.
Because that's exactly what's happening here.
100%.
He misses out on something. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
And this is two seasons before the Blitz.
I know. And I was thinking about that when I was watching this one. And because because Barney's like, tonight's the night. I pick up a lesbian. And he takes off his coat and he borrows Robin's lipstick. Yeah. And I was like, we find out later on through one of like the little backstory one-liners that works.
Yeah, because I think it's when he's telling Nora all of the things, the plays that he's done and whatnot.
Yeah.
He talks about it, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, shit. So that one works at some point.
Yeah.
But I love this play, by the way, because, like, it's Neil Patrick Harris. Like, there's not like, many...
I don't think either of us could pull it off, you know?
First off, the beards would give it away.
All that.
He would have to go full clean shaven. He commits, though. Neil Patrick Harris as Barney Stinson commits.
Yeah.
COMITTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTTT
All right, folks, that is officially our first Scrub reference of the night. I'm sure there are others. Who knows?
Listen, but yeah, I'm just here to fuck shit up.
But yeah, there's a series of things. You know, that one, then he gets over Stella's and she's already asleep.
She's already asleep. And then he misses the train back.
He misses the celebration of Robin getting a new job and all the champagne's gone.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious. And then he misses dinner with Stella and Lucy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I also...
Oh, man!
So I know that they brush over this little segment really quick just to set up the whole back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, first off, I love that he's made friends with the guy on the train.
Yeah, Matisse, I think Matisse. It was. What is it? Yeah. The guy in the rollerblades.
I do feel bad for him when he gets back to the bar and they've already drank all the champagne. Yeah. Like, he probably had texted them, like, I'm on my way. You couldn't have even saved him a glass.
Yeah, something.
Like, and then when I understand Stella and Lucy start dinner without him, you don't want dinner getting cold. She's a kid. You got to feed them when they're hungry.
Yeah. Yep.
But I have to say, I love when she's, because Lucy makes a comment to him, something about like, maybe next time, Slugger, or something like that.
Like, something like, yeah.
And he's like, thanks, kid. And, you know, it's nice to see, like, they had like that little bond moment right there.
Yeah.
Because it shows that.
We see more of that later on, which,
yeah,
it's a great scene with them later on.
It made me cry. Like,
yeah, it's so, because we rarely see Lucy.
Yeah.
Granted, we don't see Stella very much in general.
Stella!
We see Lucy even less. So, you know, it was nice to actually get to see her a bit there.
Lucy who?
Yeah, there you go. So Stella suggests having the gang, you know, come out to New Jersey. And when Ted tells them this, they all just start, like, making fun of the idea. They're just like shitting all over the fact that, you know, it's New Jersey. And then Lily points out that Ted hates New Jersey. We get this whole, like, kind of like series of scenes showing how Ted hates New Jersey. I love the one where it's like, I got to go take a massive New Jersey. And he's going to take a shit.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but you know what just struck in my mind?
Mm-hmm.
So what if, and follow me on this one, because this is a long stretch.
Okay.
What if Stella Zimmerman is, in fact, Elliot Reed?
Okay.
Elliot's a doctor.
Yeah.
She's got a side hustle as a tattoo removal person. She's got to have a doctorate to be able to do that, because you got to operate a laser and shit like that.
Yeah.
Your normal person wouldn't have went to school. I mean, granted, I know people do it all the time, but it would have been easier for Elliot to have, think about it, her neuro, neuroses to like be so perfect.
Oh yeah.
She didn't want to go into to babies like her mom wanted her to do. She wanted to be a general practice doctor. Well, Kelso gives her so much shit and Cox rides her ass so much that Elliot does everything she can to not be there, and she goes to the other hospital, which fails out, and she has to come back to Sacred Heart. So what if, while she was doing her own private practice shit, like she does later on in the series, which is where we would be about now, because this is happening during roughly late season 7, early season 8, which means she's back with JD, yeah, and she's staying home more.
Actually, I think this would be season 8, because season 7 was cut short because of the writer's strike.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if during the season, which would have been JD's last year at Sacred Heart, what if she had to make more money because she knew JD was going to stay home with Sam, or he would want to spend more time with Sam, that she had to take up a second thing, couldn't get one as Elliot Reed, so she took a pseudonym name, Stella Zimmerman, and bam! Doesn't really explain Lucy, but...
No, it does not.
she just had a baby with Sean, and that's why nobody cares, Sean.
Boom. She has a secret life in New Jersey.
I mean, dumber things have happened on shows. The Fonzie jumped a shark on a fucking motorcycle.
Was it a motorcycle, or was it? I thought it was a jet ski.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
I think it's a jet ski. Either way, he literally jumped a shark. Yeah.
There was one time I saw Weezer perform at Al's Palace.
There you go.
But back to it. Yes. Ted's in the middle of a conundrum. What the hell should he do?
Okay, so Lily makes this comment, which I thought was really funny. She says, she essentially tells Ted that if he murders her and buries her in New Jersey, she will haunt him forever. But then he's like, okay, what if I bury you somewhere else? She's like, eh, that's fine. I'm sure you had your reasons.
I love that little joke goes in there, too, because, like, eh, I'm sure you had your reasons.
It's just, as long as you don't bury me in New Jersey, we're cool. It's fine. And
I have to agree with you. The little segment of, like, how much he hates Jersey, there's the one specifically that made it stuck out for me wasn't the, I got it, well, it is the, I have to go take a New Jersey. Yeah. But not for that reason. It was the renaming of my trash can on my laptop. Do you remember what my trash can's called?
Uh-huh.
And that's what it made me think of.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's going to be kept between us, folks.
That's a joke that nobody else would get anyway. Sorry, people.
That's true. That is
needless to say, my trash can is named after a specific person.
Yes. All right, so this is after this point is where we start to see the Robin stuff.
Yep.
Did you want to do it separately? Did you want to do it intertwined? How did you want to handle the Robin
stuff? I mean, we could talk about the Robin stuff quickly because hers is a quick storyline in this one.
Yeah, it is.
So Robin comes in and announces she got a new job because she's tired of her Channel 1 news anchor position because they keep making jokes about stupid shit and
which we've seen in previous episodes.
Oh yeah, a lot we've seen
the stupid puns.
And
about
the
everything.
One that really bothers me is, and I agree with her on this one, is the electric. The like people died.
Yeah,
and she's like, people died, and he's just like, yeah,
people died, Joel.
Fucking Joe.
Yeah, but yeah, she you know, she quits her job. There's this whole speech that she gives when she quits her job that apparently Ted wrote.
Yeah, and I love how he's like,
yeah, and Marshall just like calls him out. I was like, you wrote it, didn't you? Yeah.
It's a very similar speech to the one I gave when I had to leave the synchronized swimming team.
You were the towel boy,
Ted.
That's still part of the team.
Listen, all I'm saying is I've been in a very similar boat where I wasn't part of the team, but I was an integral part of the team. And I stand by the fact that, and you as my witness, I got to sit on the court during prep rally. So fuck all y'all haters.
That's true. You got to, you know, you were a hydration specialist.
Oh, fucking just out me, bro. Yeah. I was a fucking water boy.
No.
I served high quality H2O.
You are an executive hydration specialist.
I got to walk out to the pep rally with a very beautiful Gina Valentine. So fuck all y'all haters, because she's still pretty today, and we still talk.
Boom. There it is, folks. There
it is. Boom goes the dynamite.
So Robin, she as far as she knows, she thinks she's starting this new job.
Yeah, I feel bad for her in this one, because like she gets a phone call that she gets this job, and stupidly she celebrates, but she puts her phone down.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, I just want to be specific that you didn't get a job. You have an interview. This isn't a job at all, but an interview. And she's like,
Now here's my problem with the guy. When you call the person, right, the applicant, why are you just like, you got it?
Right?
Like, you say that, that means I got the job. I'm sorry. 100%. That's what it means.
Yeah, when he should have been like,
got it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, this should be the demonstration. You ready for this? Like, I'm calling you. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Hi, is this Josh Rayner?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is so-and-so from so-and-so's TV station. Do you have a second to talk about the job you applied for?
Yes, I do.
Well, we'd like to bring you in for an interview. Does that sound great?
That sounds amazing.
I'd like to verify.
Can I bring my pet monkey?
Yes. Is he trained to fight with swords?
Only daggers and nunchucks.
Even better. Let's set this up. But I want to reiterate, you didn't get the job, but an interview.
Right? Because if you have to say that, that means that you did something wrong in the first place.
100%.
Like,
I get it to set it up so that everything happens later on and, like, she's got to come crawling back. But, like,
yeah,
damn.
Still, you know. And
so that's the thing. So Robin goes, like, part of her story is this off screen. She goes and has this interview.
Yeah.
And comes back to the group while they're at Ted's house, Stella's house.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, how was the first day of your job? And she's like, well, it wasn't a job. It was an interview. And there were 20 other women there and blah, blah, blah. And then Barney, I mean, God bless Barney, talks her up into going and, like, getting her job back.
No, he's trying to get talk her out of
it. Oh, you're right. No, he is trying to talk her out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, you know, I was like, okay, because he gives this whole speech about, you know, the women that look in the eyes of the women when he brings them back for a second round, essentially.
And then, like, when she leaves Ted, he turns to Ted, he's like, that face.
Yeah. And so she decides, like, she goes off somewhere. I don't remember if she said, like, where she was going in the house or whatever, like, what to break away from the group. But eventually, they run up, Lily and Barney run upstairs and see that she's on the phone trying to get her job back.
Yeah.
And I love that she takes Lucy's bike, because Joel's like, if you can get here before the 11 o'clock news, which is in a half an hour, you can have your job back.
Yeah.
And she just takes this little girl's bike and bikes from New Jersey to Manhattan in a half an hour.
But listen, there's a spot in this scene where something happens, and I realized it's a lot of what we talk about, but it specifically happens here, and it only happens a small handful of times throughout the show. And it's where she pulls up to the traffic jam, and Ted's like, now listen, I wasn't there, kids. But this is how your Aunt Robin swears it happened.
Yes.
And she, like, does a huge backflip over, like, three cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. So this happens as early as season 4. Because, like, that happens in the episode where Lily and Marshall are trying to get out of the house. And, like, well, I wasn't there, kids. But, you know, and, like, they dropped down. Or, well, no. Because I think, doesn't that happen in season 1 when they go to the rave?
Oh, yeah, the rave.
So, I mean, that one, but I mean, it only happens a handful of times throughout the show. And this is one of those times where it's like Ted clearly wasn't there. So he's telling the story is how he was told it happened.
Yeah.
When it probably was nothing like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
if anything, she probably like picked the bike up and just like climbed on top of cars, if anything. You know?
I'm not going to lie. That could have been just as funny to have watched.
I think that would have been funnier, yeah.
I mean, the backflip was pretty amazing.
It was.
But so she gets there just in the nick of time, shoves this poor kid out of the seat,
mm-hmm.
and, like, she does the news. And then she realizes... Well,
she does one story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But she does part of the news mm-hmm. and realizes when she gives another horrible pun, she is, in fact, done.
She is.
And quits again.
Yes, right she there. Does. Right there. Yeah. And do we want to mention the very ending?
Yeah, we can mention the ending here.
So, like, this whole thing was all about, you know, she wanted this other job. She thought she was going to get this job, but it was just an interview and all this other stuff. And at the very end, we find out that she didn't get the anchor job that she was applying for, but they did give her a different job.
Foreign correspondent.
And she has to move to Japan. And this is something that we knew was going to happen back in, I think it was season two, during the wedding.
Yep.
What Ted mentions, you know, that, you know, eventually Robin would, you know, live in Japan. That was one of the
places. Yeah, for a brief time she lived in Japan.
Yeah. And now it's coming to fruition. And there are some, I remember a lot of these, and there are some real funny stuff when she
I love the one with the chimpanzee.
Yeah,
and he throws the papers.
There's so many good moments in with the Japan stuff for her. So I'm excited to talk about all those. But yeah,
I'm super excited to talk about it. But at the same time, I'm sad because, like, as part of the story, like, I hate because, like, the group's not all together, and I know it's only a short time period anyway. But, like,
it's true. It is true. But you know,
so now let's crack the eggs and scramble the rest of the story.
That's right. So, the gang, minus Robin, head to New Jersey, John.
They head to Jersey.
Yes, they
do. And they're greeted by Stella.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Who's super happy to entertain, but has bad news. They can't go out on a Saturday night because she couldn't get a babysitter.
No, she could not, unfortunately. But she tells them they can go to the greatest bar in New Jersey, John.
Yeah.
Right in her basement.
I love, though, that she claims, though, that she has beer in the garage.
In the garage,
because she doesn't obviously drink beer. But then I'm like, okay, so clearly, because she's mentioned before, like, she's not a big drinker, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whatever. So even as watching this episode multitude of times and, like, the series multiple times, she makes this comment, and I'm like, if she doesn't drink beer, why would you have beer?
My assumption is that Tony drank beer.
Well, yeah, because she makes the comment later on that it was before Lucy was born.
Yeah, but so the fact that the beer is that it's there isn't confusing to me. It's more the fact that why is it that old? Like, when did Tony leave? You know what I mean? Like, when did Tony leave?
That's a good question, too. If
the beer was bought before Lucy was born, did he leave, like, right after? And he had just stocked up on a whole ass ton of beer? He's like,
I mean, that's a good question.
I'm going to go, well, because, like, Ted talks about, he's like, I had to buy a 144-pack or something.
Yeah.
Like that when he ends up getting it. So, like, is that what Tony did? He bought a 144-pack at the Priceco and just never got through it all?
I mean, 144 beers, you figure the average, the biggest one you can get is 30 cans?
Well, it's 12 packs.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It's 144, 12 times 12 is 140. Wow. Yeah. The fact that that's basic math and it eluded me, and I went straight to the 30 rack. Well, I'm not saying I'm an alcoholic, but, you know.
Well, I mean, even if you're talking 30 racks, it's like almost 5 30 racks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, that's a lot of beer.
It is a lot of beer.
That would last me a week and a half.
Well, good thing there's not a Priceco.
That's true.
But listen, yeah.
I'm just going to say, though, I wish we had more stores like that.
It's true.
Because, honestly, that store looked pretty bomb.
I mean, it's essentially a Sam's Club or a BJ's, really. Listen, all it is.
Don't you take Sam's Club's name and sully it.
I've never been to a Sam's Club. I have a BJ's membership, though. So, like, I've been there.
Yes, I've been there.
I love a good BJ.
Oh, there's the fucking childish humor for everybody tonight. Welcome to Simply, or no, sorry.
Yeah, we're on the, that's the wrong podcast there, John.
Welcome to Last Call.
Oh, man. But yeah, I do enjoy the whole, like, the big box store, ones like that. The bulk stores, I guess you call
it. I shopped once at a Sam's Club, and I saved a shit ton of money. I can't shit on it. It was a great experience, but it's tied to Walmart, and Walmart's totally conglomerate now, and they're not as family-friendly as they used to be, and that pisses me off. I would totally love a BJ's experience, but I've never been to one, and I can't.
Yeah.
I would go, though.
Yeah, it's nice. I used to get because I used to buy so much stuff in bulk. It was crazy.
Smart way to do it.
Most of my shopping I would do there, you know, because you could get, like, a big-ass box that's, like, three boxes of cereal in one.
Oh, damn.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, so Stella goes to the garage to get the beer, and while she's gone, everyone starts bashing on New Jersey and making plans to leave.
Oh, yeah.
And then Stella walks in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
this is where we get the boom goes the dynamite line.
Yeah, as she's like, they're going down to the basement.
Yeah, she comes in and, you know, she says the line, and I found out some stuff about this. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know the origin of Boom Goes the Dynamite?
Actually, I don't.
Because I'm going to be honest, the only thing that I knew Boom Goes the Dynamite from is Family Guy. It's the only thing I knew it from. Apparently, it was from this newscast. It was like the sports newscast. This young kid was doing a sports newscast, and he was super, super fucking nervous and butchering the whole newscast. And at one point during it, he's talking about, like, a basketball game, and the guy, like, sinks a shot, and he's like, and boom goes the dynamite. And he just keeps on going. It's just, like, in the middle of his broadcast. He just threw that in there and just kept on rolling past it. And so that's where it came from.
Okay.
And so I said that there's two references, technically, in this episode. The nervous kid that they're going to replace Robin with. It's essentially a reference to that.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll have to send you because I found it on YouTube. I'll have to send you a video of this kid. And after watching it and then watching the episode again, seeing that nervous kid, I'm like, they're 100% parodying this video.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Because this is where she comes in and she goes, listen, we don't have to go to a bar. We've got the closest bar in Jersey. And they go down to the basement. And that's where she's like, as they're going down the stairs, like, Joshua, this is where she's like, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who want a little tidbit behind the curtain, let me pull back the veil a little bit. That's one of my favorite fucking Family Guy jokes to make all the time with Josh. Yeah. I will literally be like, and boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, yeah. It's classic, man.
So I love that reference is in this show. Yeah. And or vice versa, because I don't honestly know, and I'm not doing the fact check on it of who had it first. But it's there. Both shows have it. I love both shows. So it's still just, I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they go down in the basement, and this is where it starts the Jersey versus New York City debate. Like, which one's better?
Actually, real quick, I actually think Family Guy did it first.
I think they did as well.
I think so. Because it was kind of earlier in that show.
And You're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go back and double check, but I would put my money on it being Family Guy. But yeah.
So would I. So they start, this is where, like, they really start lacing into the Jersey's better than New York City. Yeah. And Ted's, like, stating some facts about, like, why he likes New York City better. And Stella rebuttals with, like, well, Lucy has her school and her friends.
Well, no, that doesn't happen yet. Because she hasn't even mentioned it yet that Ted is going to live there.
You're right.
I think she mentions it. Does she mention it right beforehand? No, I don't think she's mentioned it yet.
No, because she hasn't mentioned it until she goes right back up the stairs.
When she goes up to let Robin in is when she mentions it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right here is where Barney makes the lame joke about the suckerfish.
The suckerfish and the blowfish.
And we
give it some pound.
We get our other side story here with Barney and the fist bump.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is its own funny little thing because there's a random fish bowl with no fish in it. And he's like, oh, my two favorite fish, the suckerfish and the blowfish. What's happening? And then, like, nobody above.
Yeah, well, Ted's like, for blowfish? No.
My favorite part is, though, he turns to Stella, and he's like, come on. And Stella, like,
looks over at Ted,
and he's just like.
No, he shakes his head no.
And she's like. And then, like, throughout, like, the next, like, series of moments, he keeps trying to find things to get. Like, bump the barnacle.
Yep.
This little segment goes by really quick, and then Robin shows up.
Yes.
And that's when Stella's like, well, don't worry, Ted, when you move in here, blah, blah, blah. Oh, because this is where, like, she had come down the stairs. She's like, nobody drink the beer. I just realized it was before Lucy was born.
Yeah.
And then she tells Ted he can go and down to Costco and get some beer. Yeah. And he might as well do it anyway because he's got to get a card for when he moves to Jersey.
Yeah.
And then she runs up the stairs and Marshall's like, wait. Because he's like, I'm moving to Jersey?
Yeah, Ted kind of like freaks out a little bit here.
Just a little bit. You could tell like he's side floored by like the back. And then Marshall's like, well, didn't you guys talk about it? He's like, well, I thought we had.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I thought we discussed this months ago. And we get this whole scene where he suggests them moving in together, and she like sarcastically agrees, kind of like making fun of him. But she's totally
making fun of him.
He's so oblivious to it and thinks that she's being serious and agreeing with him. And it's like, Ted, come on, man. Are you really that dumb? Like, I know sometimes you are, but like, come on, man. Like,
so then
we also learned that the apartment is apparently rent controlled in this.
Yeah. House.
Which I never realized that, which makes sense. That huge ass apartment in New York City would be insanely expensive.
Oh yeah.
If it wasn't rent controlled.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
plus
that makes me
they can afford it the whole time.
That makes me think that I'm wondering if it's still rent controlled when Jesse and Sid live there.
Ooh, maybe.
Because otherwise, how the fuck are they affording that?
Who knows?
Like, because we had that discussion when we found out that Sid paid 7/8 of the rent.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, the failing bars. Like, how the hell is he paying that kind of rent for an apartment like that? But if it's rent control, that makes more sense.
That's true.
Yeah, see?
But, yeah, so this is where Robin enters to join the little bit of the story that she's in.
Yeah,
and I love that Barney instantly is like, hey, Robin, pound it. And she's like, Stella already told me not to.
Yeah,
Stella. And I'm like, good for Stella. Like,
I thought that was great. Yeah, I mean, her and Robin still get along at this point.
Oh, yeah. They haven't hit that point yet.
Yeah, because I don't know anything yet.
so then this is like the continuation of like the Marshall and like Marshall agrees to go with Ted to the store. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I love this part of the story because they break this part off for a second or two and they show them at Priceco.
Yeah.
And I love how Marshall's just kind of like, there was a lawnmower with a cup holder on it and a hammock with a cup holder. And there was a chair with a cup holder. He's like, you'll never have to hold a beverage again.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's so excited. Yeah. About it. It's too funny. It makes sense though. Because it's like Minnesota. It's like the suburbs of Minnesota for him.
And that's it. Yeah. For him, it's like where he grew up and mm-hmm. how he would deal with shit. He's not a city boy.
Because he also talks about how, you know, everything in New York is so small. He's banging into things.
Well, that's once they get back to the basement.
Yeah.
But and I love that that's where he comes in and he's like, I'm so giant. I'm always bumping my elbows going through tiny doorways and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I hate it here. Yes. I love New Jersey. And he looks and he's like, no, not really.
Like, yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But there's a moment when they're at Priceco that I have an issue with.
Okay.
Ted and Marshall walk up to this random couple. Okay.
The two who were from the city?
Yeah. Ted says to them, you guys are from New York, right? And to which they say yes.
Yep.
how the fuck did Ted know they were from New York? He didn't say, hey, are you guys from New York by any chance? No, he's like, you guys are from New York, right? Like, he knows that they're from New York.
True.
How the fuck did he know they're from New York? The one couple that he approaches.
Hear me out. They dress like New Yorkers.
But they haven't been in New York.
I know, bro. I'm just trying to be funny. Because, you know, New Jersey's New York's toilet. Everybody in Jersey dresses like shit. Anybody who's listening to the podcast, I'm only joking. If you're from New Jersey, I respect you. Red Bank represent.
Also, Stella sent him there for beer. Why the fuck does he have a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, bag of lemons?
First off, why? When life gives you lemons, why not? Maybe they were like $2. You gonna turn on a big bass sack of lemons?
Yes, if I don't need 83,000 lemons, yes.
I mean, you're right. There was probably a good like 30 to 40 lemons in that bag.
A lot of goddamn lemons, man. I mean, unless off screen she's like, I need a big bag of lemons so that Lucy can start a lemonade stand. Other than that, man.
A lemonade stand? Dude, she's going to be selling lemonade on every corner.
It's true.
Like a 4-block city radius.
She's going to have a multi-million-dollar business by the time she's done with it. All those fucking lemons.
The one that makes me laugh while we're in Price Co. is Marshall talking to the other couple. They're looking at dog shirts, and he's like,
no, that's the same couple. They all walk over there.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just like, shit, man. Like, he's just like, this one or this one? And then, of course, we end up back up in the basement. Real quick.
I don't know if you noticed, though. At the end of the episode, he's wearing a dog shirt.
No, I didn't notice that. I will have to go back and...
He's wearing one of the dog shirts from Price Co. Yeah.
That's great.
But yes. We also get the... So, yeah, back at the home bar, I guess you can call it, while they're at Price Co., Barney is desperately trying to get Lily to fist bump him, even to the point of bribing her $10,000.
Dude, 10 grand.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I could have said no.
I would have been like, listen, the understanding is you pay me the 10 grand. We have a good story as to why you got fist bumped.
True. I tripped and my fist just hit him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, but yeah, and then he starts to like tear up, because you know
it hurts.
It hurts, and he's like, "No, these are manly pain tears, not emotional tears."
Not emotional tears.
And this is where then they run upstairs and catch Robin and everything, and we talked about all that stuff.
Yep. But,
and then Ted returns. Ted and Marshall return with the beer and the lemons. Now there's a moment. Within a few minutes of this scene, I think, where Marshall is hugging a giant thing of olives. Did he carry that in? I didn't notice either.
And I had thought that myself, where I'm like, did they get the olives too while they were at Price Co?
Yeah.
Or was it just something Stella had in a downstairs bar?
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a bar, sure. Olives, you want to make
martinis? Yeah, olives, martinis, whatever. Yeah.
But I also thought it was kind of funny because we have already established that he loves olives because he was lying about it with the olive rule. Now he's like, I can live my true life, my true self.
100%.
With him and his olives.
Well, and so I had thought about something when, like, because this is where, like I said, he has his outburst. Because Lily's like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
the whole big fight happens here. Says he doesn't want to move to New Jersey.
And Lily, like, she comes in on, like, the whole New York side of things. And this is where Marshall's like, no, you know what I did tonight? I went to Price Co. and I could walk around a store. And, you know, I wasn't giant. I was normal.
People were nice.
And I thought about, and I don't want to take away from the episode here, but I thought about this. And I was like, you know what? It wouldn't shock me. Because, like, think about, like, what people say when they travel to America. Especially because, like, New York is a huge tourist attraction. And people always say, New Yorkers are rude as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, that's the stereotype for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, think about like all the stereotype, like give me your impression of a New Yorker. What's the first thing you go to?
Hey, I'm walking here.
Can't you see I'm walking here?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's one of the first things people usually go to.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, well, if that's the first thing people think of, why? Oh, that's right, because we're Americans. We're angry people. And then I was like, okay, but New Yorkers have the extreme, I get it. It's New York City, high stress, high functioning. Yes.
Everything's busy, moving busy, real busy. Fast. Yeah.
And then I was like, it makes sense that Marshall again, though. And I'm taking the Minnesota side out of it. People in Jersey are way friendlier than New York City.
Well, at least in the Jersey suburbs.
Fair enough. I can respect that. Yeah. Side that with the fact that, like he said, he could walk through the store and the store was bigger. It doesn't have to cramp down because of size conditionings or anything.
Yeah.
They're at Stella's house. They're not in an apartment, which means things are spread out. Things are open more. Yeah. You know, of course he's more comfortable. Yeah. And then I love how, even though he's arguing legitimately, he's like, you know what I saw at Priceco? He's like, things that had beverage holders. He's like, I'll never have to hold a beverage again, Lily.
Yeah, I love how he brings that back up.
And I was just like, man, he's really impressed with these cup holders. And then this is where he screams, I hate New York. And he's like, no, I mean, sorry. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I love that.
And then this is where Ted and Stella finally go head to head about it. And like, this is where like everybody kind of gangs up on Stella. Yeah. And I feel for her.
I have to say, she gives this list of reasons as to why she won't move. And I'm like, these are very legitimate reasons. And I wrote them all down. So I'm going to say them because I have something to say about it after the fact. So she says, Lucy goes to school there. That's big. I get it. As a parent, I totally understand that. All of Lucy's friends are there. Again, totally get that. Stella has lived there her whole life. It can be difficult to move away from where
it can.
All of her family is there. Again, can be very difficult. She owns the house, you know, so that, you know, that's, it's not just like, oh, I rent this apartment. I can leave anytime. Not that big of a deal. She's on the PTA. And as of June 1st, she's the deputy mayor.
Deputy mayor.
Now, that's the biggest one for me, because I want to know how long is that, is she a deputy mayor for? Because she has zero problems moving to New York with Tony.
You're not wrong.
And throwing away every single one of those points that she makes.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
Well,
for him.
So here's my rebuttal to that. Because it's not a rebuttal, but it's like I see your argument. Like
you're going to play devil's advocate?
Yes. Because what do we know about what happens at the wedding? You don't invite exes because sometimes things aren't over. She didn't want to move to the city because she didn't want to see Tony.
Yeah, sure. Okay. But
because
whether that's the case or not, she still gives Ted all of these reasons.
Oh, no, I know.
Why are those reasons no longer a factor?
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Is she no longer the deputy? Was she only the deputy mayor for a couple of years?
Well, no, but she probably gave it up because, I mean,
again, that's like, why? To go live in an apartment with Tony? Why couldn't Tony just live in the house? Which lived in that house together before.
I'm not arguing that, though. What I'm saying is I'm hearing your points. She gave it all up.
I'm asking questions.
I mean, I can't answer those questions because I'm not in that space. I mean, what I'm going to assume is, and this is, just hear me out. These are weak argument points. Lucy can transfer school and make new friends, visit old friends on the weekend by going back to Jersey, the same way Ted goes back and forth all the time. I'm sure she probably rented or sold the house because she obviously moved to the city with Tony. And then
No, I understand that she can do those things. What I'm trying to say is, why would she do those things just for him?
Honestly, that answer I don't have.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I agree with you. It would have made more sense for Tony to give up his apartment and move back to Jersey. Yeah. But think about it this way, though. And I'm only going to say it this way because we know how the show already plays out. We're not watching it for the first time. Had she not moved back to the city, we would never get the run-in between the two of them later on when Ted is on the cover of the magazine.
Yes. And I get that. Everything that happens had to happen. Yes. I get it. Absolutely.
Is it stupid? Yes. Does it further the storyline? Not at all.
What it comes down to is it makes her character extraordinarily unlikable. You grow into loving this character. I loved her up until the wedding.
Oh yeah.
I thought Stella was a great character. And then once that happened, and then everything that happens after it, I despise. Sometimes it's hard to watch these episodes with her just because I know what happens, you know?
Well, I try
to set that stuff aside as I'm watching it, but.
That's why I said earlier, I don't agree with the decision she makes. I think she 100% makes the wrong decision, but I understand why she wants to stay in Jersey.
Yes, yeah, I understand why she would want to stay, and I can even believe that part of it is because she doesn't want to run into Tony. I absolutely could believe that. I just think that once her and Tony are finally back together, it's really shitty of her that she just gave everything up for Tony.
100%. Well, and I think that's another one of the reasons why when they finally run into her later on, it's either next season or the season after that. I think that's one of the reasons why they do it is because it's a slap in Ted's face.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like, well, she couldn't do any of that for me, but she does it for him. And he goes to confront her until he realizes how happy she is.
No, I get it. I get why they do it in the story. It makes me hate.
I know.
Oh, that's all.
Because
like if this was a real person, like this would be like one of the shittiest things you could do to a person.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. So that's really all. That's my rant about, usually you're the one who rants, but I had one today.
You did.
Then, you know, they go into the whole thing about arguing about New York and New Jersey. And Stella's like, New Jersey, you know, I'm going to say it. New Jersey is better than New York. And that's where, like, you know, they really get into it. And that's where we get the whole Frank Sinatra thing.
Oh, yeah. Because
they're, like, naming things back and
forth.
Frank
Sinatra.
He's from Hoboken.
Yeah, New Jersey. Well, he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus.
Yeah. I love that. He's from Hoboken. Yeah, well, he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus.
Well, and then I love how when she says Hoboken, she literally says, he's from Hoboken, New Jersey.
But yeah, because she's got to put that period on it. She's got to, you know, she's making that point. It's New Jersey, Ted. You know, that's the whole thing, yeah. It's funny because he could have been like, you know, he ain't singing Secaucus, Secaucus. He's singing New York, New York, but he doesn't.
No.
Which I actually am a little surprised he didn't because he's acting like a dick throughout a lot of this.
Well, and this is where, like I said, this is where Stella starts getting ganged up on.
Yeah.
Like, even Marshall had stuck up for her. And, like, I noticed during most of this, Marshall's quiet. Marshall doesn't really say shit.
He's, like, hugging the jar of olives because, like, I feel like he's too afraid of what he's feeling. He doesn't, because he knows how Lily gets.
But Lily's firing off at her. Ted's firing off at her. Barney's there.
Barney's taking both sides because he just wants somebody to fist bump him.
He just wants somebody to fist bump him. But again, he is bouncing back and forth, which
I get it.
He just wants that bump. But then it's where Ted's like,
I wonder if Barney was not in need of a fist bump, would he, I assume, he would be also ganging up, just like straight up ganging up.
I think 100% he would have ganged up on her because he has a loyalty to New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I believe
so. You might as well call New York City the Lusty Leopard in Barney Stinson's book.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, so this is where like the big blow up happens and like Stella goes upstairs.
Yeah.
And Ted's just kind of like, I don't understand it. And like,
they're definitely at this point in the episode, they're on the verge of breaking up.
Oh, 100%.
Like, yeah. And then, if he had gone home or something, if, like, they hadn't been able to resolve things, the relationship would have been over right here.
Honestly, this is the point, though, where I feel in this part of the episode, watching what happens next, this is what made the episode for me. Is like, Ted goes to find her, talk to her, talk to him, like, reason with her, make her understand his side of the argument.
Yeah.
And he runs into Lucy.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, you know, I heard some noises coming from the basement. And she's like, I just want a story read to me. And he's like, oh, I'll go get your mom. And she's like, no. Can you read a story to me?
Yeah, she says, I want you to read it. And that got me. And she's I want you to read it. Like, she cares about Ted, you know, because we don't get, I think that's like the first time really that we get to see them interact, really.
Yeah.
And so, like.
Yeah, you hear Lucy mentioned a lot, but this is the first showing of Lucy.
But it shows that obviously he's had an impact in her life, too, you know?
Yeah. And I love that, like, so he reads her the book, she falls asleep, and he realizes he can give up what he has for her and Stella, because that's all that matters is that they're happy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be a hard adjustment for Ted if, like, it was the plan played out that way.
Yeah.
But let's face it, Stella has a whole fucking house and a full basement. He could have set up an architecture set up anywhere in that house.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
like, absolutely. There's no reason, like, oh, so you're not going to be close to your friends. You live 3 hours away and we still interact all the time.
Hey, man, Robin made it back to Manhattan in a half an hour on a children's bike.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
She jumped three cars.
I think he'll be fine.
So, obviously, Ted goes down to Stella. He gives her a big hug. They reconcile.
Yeah.
And then we go back down to the basement. And, well, by this point, obviously, Robin's taken off on the bike. She's going for the station. And this is where, like, Lily and Marshall are talking to Barney because they're obviously alone in the basement. And
Barney's got, like, his arm tied up,
man.
He can't hold it anymore. And
he's like, because I think Lily's the one who says it. I think she's like, do you think Robin's doing that because, no, Barney's like, do you think Barney asks me? Yeah. And Lily's like, you know what? I think she is. Good job. And she pounds it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and he unties it and it goes down. And, like, you can tell. He's doing that whole shake the blood back into his arm thing.
Yep.
And then
he makes a masturbation joke.
Uh-huh. My arm hasn't been this tired since
since, like, 10th grade or...
Yeah.
Whatever. I
learned how to lock the door on my bathroom in 10th grade.
Something like that.
And he goes, up top! And nobody high-fives him. He's like, uh-huh.
And then they go to the bar, and he's still got the hand up. Yeah.
And obviously, this is where everything ties together. Yeah. They're all doing their final thoughts. Which, we did brush over, though. Ted comes down and announces he's moving to Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Which, obviously, we all knew that was going to happen after the whole makeup with Stella. So then, we end up in McLaren's. The gang's all sitting there.
Marshall's got a dog shirt on.
Marshall's got the dog shirt on. And Robin walks in, and she's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm moving to Japan. Yeah. Cut to the end of the episode.
Yeah, man. Moving to Japan. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be good times.
Let me ask you this. What is your dream job?
My dream job? I mean, honestly, I would love to be able to make a true living doing the book editing that I'm doing. Because I actually love doing it.
Fair.
But, like, when I was a kid and stuff, like, my dream jobs were very different. You know, I wanted to be like one time I wanted to be a paleontologist. One time I wanted to be an astronomer, you know, things like that.
I remember your astronomer dream.
You know, stuff like that.
You were addicted to the stars for all of like a good 2 months.
I never knew for most of my life. I never really knew what I wanted to fucking do. You know,
What's crazy is I think I've talked about this on air. If not on this podcast, I know I've at least talked about it on the same. And that's I accomplished my childhood dream. It was a short-lived run, but I did what I wanted to do as a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. I'm just sad that I never kept with it, because I don't know if I was honestly any good, because I never really did much with it.
Yeah. Are you going to tell the folks out there?
Hell no. If they want to know, they can come over to Twitter, or X, as it's officially known as now, and you can hit me up at SimplySaneJabe1, and you can ask me there.
There you go, folks. Man, that's your homework. Asking him right there.
And if I had mentioned it before, leave a comment below if you remember what I wanted to be when I grew up.
There it is. Before we talk about like our final thoughts on the episode, I wanted to mention this. I listened to the commentary for this episode.
You usually do.
I usually do. As you noticed, I did not chime in with anything about the commentary. That is because they decided they were going to do a joke commentary.
No.
And, you know, while it was funny to listen to, I don't listen to them for a laugh. I listen to them for information, you know, which, you know, I'm sure most people don't do that because they're not doing a podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. So what it was two people who claim to be actors in the episode, like two back, you know, just like random character, like they played guy one and guy two, they said. Okay. And so throughout the commentary, they're just chatting about, you know, their career and stuff and their time on the show, you know, interacting with the cast and stuff. And they get to the Price Co. scene and they're like, okay, our scene's coming up. Okay. And they're talking through it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's like it's right. It's, you know, they're about to go around the corner. And it's, you know, our scene's gonna be right here." And you know, they talk to that couple, the man and the woman, and they're like, "Oh yeah, our scene must be coming right up after them, because I remember, you know, being right around this point in the episode." And obviously,
yeah,
they're not in the episode because it's all fake. And like they start getting like angry, and they're like, "Why would they do this to us? This is so messed up. You know, why would you have us come on the commentary? Like they're like, "Oh yeah, you in the booth, you're laughing. You think this is real funny." Like, it was hilarious once you got to that point. Because like I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm like, who the fuck could they have been? You know, because it's two guys.
Yeah. You
know, if it was a guy and a girl, I would have assumed that it was that couple. But it was two guys, and I'm like, I don't remember two random dudes in the episode. Who the fuck could they have been? No. So I was like looking things up, and because they don't tell you who it is, they don't reveal anything. They give out a website on it, because the one guy, he's like promoting his business. His initials are DED. It's like David Ellis something or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's DED dogphotography.com or something like that. And the other guy's like, wait, so your business is Dead Dog Photography? And apparently it's got like a bunch of like this, because I didn't actually get a chance to go onto it, but it's got a bunch of like weird photos of shit, kind of like reminiscent of the like the trash bag one. Remember the
the
trash bag. But the website is apparently like people like fans dug into this. The website is owned by Carl McLaren, who is like one of the producers on the show. And there was something else that was linked to, I think, like one of the writers. So they think that the two guys in the commentary were Carl and this writer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just thought it was really interesting. If you guys have the chance to check out the commentary for this episode, do it. It's funny. I don't know if it's on YouTube at all, but if you got the DVDs, pop them in, check it out. I just wanted to mention that. And so, John, what are your final thoughts on the episode?
I'm going to keep it sweet, because I got most of my venting out of the way at the very beginning about Ted being a dick in this episode. Don't be a Ted. If you missed it, go back to the beginning of this episode and re-listen to what I said. Revisit step one. But overall, I love this episode for what it is, because this is a very sweet episode. It shows that if Ted really slows himself down, he's a very kind and compassionate guy, and he's loving. And Ted is very giving person sometimes. Like, it's obviously a touch here and there situation, but, like, this episode is very... It's an emotional episode, because, like, there's so much going on. And then the blind side of Robin going to Japan at the end is just a fucking... It's a kick in the balls.
Yeah, I mean... This episode has so many, like, some big changes, you know, Ted preparing to move to New Jersey with Stella, Robin moving to Japan, like, it's big stuff.
You know, this just made me realize, because I'm pretty sure Ted does move to Jersey for a little bit, because Marshall and Lily live by themselves. Yeah. And she, because this is where they do the whole on the couch naked thing, and they're like, we can have sex anywhere we want. And she's like,
I thought they already did that. I think they already, or maybe not. I could have sworn that they already did that.
Marshall's like, I'm the greatest.
But
like,
I do remember that, just in general. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it did happen now, and I'm thinking, no, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, now I'm not sure.
Because
don't they beg him to come back?
Yeah.
Why would they do that if he was moving in? Like, 100%. He wouldn't agree to that if he's moving in with Stella. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
Now, or maybe that's after he. No, I think that's after he moves into the apartment that Zoe lived in.
So you think it's still later on?
Yeah. Okay. Because remember, because Ted does the whole, like, I can eat soup naked, or like I can, you know.
Yeah,
and then if I do something embarrassing, nobody else knows.
Yeah, that's true. And he dumps the hot soup on himself. But yeah, I agree. I enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it sets up some big stuff, you know, coming. It's one of only a handful of Stella episodes in the season at all. Yeah. I think it was really well done. It really put a lot of good focus on her. It built her up to be a likable character, you know what I mean? At this point, you know, because obviously, I'm on her side in this.
Up until this point, I'm 100% a Stella supporter.
Yeah.
Mainly because she hasn't pulled the asshole shit she's going to pull later in the season.
Which we're getting there.
we're getting there.
I think that's like episode 10. So we'll see what happens there. But we have a visitor here. For those of you who are listening on podcast form, we are being visited by a cute little white kitten. So yes.
She was like, no, put me back down.
She's like, I don't watch this damn show. I don't want to talk about it. all right. So now that we've talked about the episode, it is that time, John. It is time for Barney's blog.
That's right. Suit up, bitches.
Boom. There it is, folks. All right. So this edition of Barney's blog. Okay. So I'm assuming that this blog entry did not actually have a title, because in here it is titled I Heart New Jersey, which is the episode name. But the entry has nothing to do with New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, it's the entry is all about fist bumps. That's what it's about.
Okay, that's weird though, because after I'm looking at that image again, now I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Okay, so before the show, I sent John an image that came from the blog, which I'm going to put on the screen. For those of you who
are you going to put it on the screen?
Well, I'll put it on the screen when I do the edit.
Okay.
So that everybody else can see it. But for those of you who are listening, I will read off what what's on the image, just so you have an idea of what the hell we're talking about. All right, so the blog entry starts off, says, the fist bump, one bro's way of telling another bro, clever joke, or thanks for taking the heifer so I could get the hottie, or don't worry, I won't tell your girlfriend / wife. It's essentially the only acceptable form of bro-to-bro contact, with the obvious exception of the high five. While the fist bump has gained much notoriety in the past few years, its origins date back to the dawn of brokind.
Okay.
But one thing has withstood the test of time. Don't ever put your fist down until it's been properly bumped. Then he puts this image. It's like a timeline, okay?
Yeah.
And it has a series of years of dates on it. Starts with 4.5 billion BC, then 3083 BC, which I love the 83 in there. Then 220 BC, 1517 AD, 1522 AD, 1792 AD, 1947, 1968, 1969, 1985, 2008, and then 83, 83 AD.
That's a good one, yeah.
And then, so under it, it says, can you match these momentous fist bumps over the course of history with their place on the timeline?
Oh, and God.
And so it's essentially a matching game that he puts.
So do you want me to try this matching game? Is that what we're talking about?
I am going to read them to you, and I want to see if you can match them. Now, he did not give the answers.
Okay.
So I had to look up the dates that would correspond.
Oh, you had to do history.
I had to do a little research myself. I mean, I figured I knew most of them just kind of from context, but there were a few I wanted to verify and had to check. So, but I have the answers, and now we're going to go. And so everybody, right. If you know, you guys out there, you want to play along, the ones who are listening, maybe go back and write down what I, you know, the timeline numbers so that you have them in front of you and you guys can guess and see how well you did. And then you can hop on a Twitter at last call HIMYM and let us know how well you did.
As we're going through, this is how we'll do this for me at least. As we're going through, you read off the event, and I'll tell you what I think of the date. And if I'm wrong, just tell me I'm wrong, and then we'll just keep going through until I get them all right.
Oh, okay. All right, so the first one is Eli Whitney fist bumps Cotton.
Ooh, Cotton Gin is...
What do we got, John? What do you think? Where do you think?
1947?
Ooh, wrong.
Could have been before that. 1792.
Correct. 1792.
Okay. See, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to eliminate them on my sheet as I'm going through.
Oh, that's fine. That's what I
All right. Do. Next one.
God fist bumps Adam.
4.5 billion BC?
Yes. Rocky versus Drago fist bump before their first fight in Rocky IV.
Oh, that's got to be 85.
It is 1985. Let's see. Martin Luther fist bumps his 95 theses onto the door of the church. Now, this is not Martin Luther King. This is Martin Luther.
1947.
No. Martin Luther essentially kind of kick-started a lot of... current Christianity.
Oh, okay. So then let me back that up and say maybe 220 BC.
BC is before Christ.
Oh, before Christ. Sorry, 1522 AD.
Close.
1517 AD.
There it is. 1517.
Damn. Okay.
All right. So Tommy Smith and John Carlos fist bump atop the Olympic podium.
Well, if it's an Olympic podium, it's probably 68.
It is 1968.
I knew the Olympics happened in 68. So,
Barack Obama fist bumps his wife Michelle.
2008.
There it is. Hieroglyphics in Egypt depict a pharaoh fist bumping a cat.
Oh man, I'm horrible when it comes to Egypt. 1522.
No.
Fuck.
Think
was Egypt before. Well, no. 220 BC.
No.
Fuck.
I'll say you were on the right path though.
The 3083 BC?
Correct.
Egypt was before Christ?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because they believed in all those other gods and stuff, man.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I just always... never mind. We'll just keep going. I don't want to sound stupid on air.
China builds the Great Wall to prevent the Mongolians from fist-bumping them into oblivion.
47?
No. So, okay, so this
69.
This is essentially talking about, you know, than building the Great Wall of China.
Oh, building the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, that's China builds the Great Wall.
Well, and that's got to be 1522.
No.
Really? Shit.
This may surprise you.
220 BC?
220 BC.
That does surprise me because I didn't realize the Great Wall had been standing that long.
Yeah. Yeah, man, over 2,000 years.
Shit.
All right. Chuck Yeager breaks the sound / fist bump barrier. And it says, other guy's arm falls off, never done again.
83?
No. So this is about the guy who first broke the sound barrier.
Oh, honestly, I don't know anything about that, but I'm going to have to assume that was probably 47.
Yes, it was. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin make the first space fist bump. What do you got? There's only a few left.
1522? No, 1969.
Yeah. Yep, first moon landing in 1969.
Yeah, yeah, because, oh, the moon, you know. Oh! Yeah.
And then the last one, there's only one left, but there are two dates, if you notice.
Okay.
But there's only one left.
Okay.
And it says, the first ever alien Homo sapien fist bump.
Well, that's 83.
Yes. I don't know why the 1522 AD is on there.
To throw people off.
It's not used at all. But, so that was the game there, folks. I hope you enjoyed it.
Shit.
It was a strange one, but it was entertaining. A little history lesson for you. Yeah. All right, folks. So that's all I think that there is. So I think we should probably wrap things up unless you got something else you'd like to say. No,
but I'll keep it nice and sweet for the people at home. Okay. It's simple, guys. I'm on X. I am on X. It's simply saying J1. Yeah. And I mean, if you want to find me, find me. You don't want to find me, that's cool as well.
All right. And you can find me on X or Twitter or what the fuck ever man, the whole X thing is
I know.
You can find me on Twitter at Movie Blog Merc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc of the Movie Blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, you are watching it on the Merc of the Movie Blog YouTube channel. Yeah, so be sure to hit that like button. Smash that subscribe button. Click that little bell, wherever the fuck it is.
And don't forget that if you're using your mobile device, you can set that little bell to let you know when we drop new content or when Josh drops other content without me, because sometimes he does that.
Boom, boom, boom. And also be sure to leave comments on the YouTube videos. We'd love to hear from you. And also you can check us out on all the audio podcast platforms. You know, we've got Apple, fucking Spotify, Google Play.
Hell yeah.
Stitcher's no longer a thing, so don't go there.
But I mean, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us at.
It's true.
At Last Call of the Kens.
Yeah, man, it's right there. Just search it. Nothing else will pop up because we're unique that way. We're awesome.
And so if you really want, we have a link tree. Hit up our link tree. Our links are there.
Yeah, it's right there on the Twitter page. It's right in the bio. You can check that out. And you can check us out on Twitter at Last Call HIMYM.
And as well Instagram.
As Instagram at Last Call HIMYM. Leave us messages over there, whatever. Chit chat. Love to hear from you, hear your thoughts, and all that good jazz.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know it. But I think that's all I got for him, my friend. Oh, also, real quick, folks, be sure, # save HIMYF. We got to get this shit going. Sign the petition.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Let's save How I Met Your Father, people.
That's right. Also, I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
Fuck off. No, you don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
That's right, folks. Enjoy your cup holders.
Jar Jar Binks was the greatest.